Misty.
Hi.
Welcome to Love, Hope, and Stories. My name's Jennifer, and I got my girl Misty here with me co-hosting our series called Be Strong September. We are going to talk about being strong in the spirit today. But first, Misty, how you doing?
It is a busy week. We had two new employees start with us this week, and I am one of their main source of training, and there is a lot of training involved in what we do, and so I'm in the midst of a pretty busy season with work following up our summer. And for those who may not know, my organization, we set up and run short-term mission trips, and last summer we did it in over 50 communities, and so we're getting ramped up to evaluate how that went. And so there are a lot of small things involved in that. And then when we hire on new staff, we train them in what mission set up and relationship building looks like. So that's kind of been encompassing my days, and they've been pretty full and pretty busy. So trying to balance, like everyone else, work and spiritual life and family and church has been quite the struggle this week, I think.
Yeah. And you're adding all this new Be Strong stuff in, like a new diet plan and a new exercise. And I think it's funny that we start this and then it's like the world goes crazy, right?
Because
anytime you start something where you're like, okay, Jesus, I'm surrendering, I want more of you in my life, it's like fire comes. And it's a testing. I mean, this weekend, I called the fire department because, which Jackson, our four-year-old, was super excited about seeing fire workers in our home. We just had, Vinny was at work, and we had this horrible egg, like sulfur smell, and I could not figure out what it was. We had cooked eggs earlier in the morning, but you know, they weren't rotten, and I don't know where the smell came from. Anyway, I called the fire department twice because it was just, like, overwhelming in our house on two occasions. Then we had the gas company come out, and they never could find anything, and we haven't smelled it since. So I don't even know what that little drama was about, but it was really unnerving because the gas department, they were like, okay, you need to leave your home, but don't go too far because if you're not there, we'll shut off your gas and you'll have to call us back. And it was just, I had the kids and it was like right at bedtime. I had to wake Jackson up. It was just crazy. And Jackson started school this week and we're getting Isabella back into all of her therapies. And it's just crazy.
Uh-huh.
And we're trying to eat healthy and we're trying to exercise and trying to surrender our lives to Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like real life.
Yes, a lot of things vying for your attention
and
your focus in that time.
And I think other people probably listening to this that are on board with Be Strong September, I'm sure they could share stories too. And I hope that you do share some stories on Instagram and Facebook and our group, Be Strong September group. That would be really cool to hear kind of just what's going on in the community and what crazy you guys have experienced. Because we're just going to push through. And I'm excited. I am fired up about what we're going to talk about today. Be strong in our spirits.
Yeah. I think it's exciting.
Yeah. Go, Misty. You just tell us what you got.
Oh, okay. Well, so it has been interesting because for me, I think I may have mentioned this when we talked last week, but I know I mentioned it a little bit in a Facebook post that I put on our community kind of Facebook group. But for me, this whole season has, and it's been more evident, I think, day by day, it's about discipline and surrender. Mm-hmm. And so I think as we go through, like, each week, you know, when we talk about our focus, I think for me this week, thinking about the spirit and what being strong in the spirit looks like, I feel in some of my personal study and the book that we're studying together, but then also in the reading plan that you've made, I tried to go through each day and look at what the reading was for that day. And then what does that have to say to me about being strong in spirit? Like, how does this apply to being strong in spirit? And like, I love reading God's word, but I am an avid reader. I can read really quickly. I enjoy reading, but I find that I just don't remember things. And I was talking to the Lord about that this morning in the car. I was like, why don't I remember everything that I've read all week long? You know, like trying to pray and prepare for today and the rest of this week. It's kind of like, why can I not recall to my memory right now everything that I've read? And it was just not like the Holy Spirit answered me right then. But when I got to work, I actually set out some time and was like, let me just, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. I'm going to go through what my reading is for today, which is kind of what I've done every day this week. And it just became really obvious to me. Like, it's not that I didn't retain anything from day to day, but you're right in the fact that the word tells us that when the sower does sow seed, the enemy wants to come and steal it immediately. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are different practices as believers that we need to put in place to make sure we guard that seed that's been sown. And for me, reading the word every day, because I've been feeding my body different physically, I've also been employing the discipline of feeding myself spiritually. And so I sat down and reviewed everything that I've gone over this whole week to really think about how does this apply to being strong in the spirit.
I think it was Jack Hayford. I think I read a book by him where he's talking about when he was younger, he was talking to his mother about reading the Bible. And I don't ever remember what I read. And is it really helping me if I don't remember? And then shame and sets in and all that kind of stuff, you know. And his mom said, you know, you may not remember what you ate last Tuesday for lunch, but the effects of that food is in your body. Mm-hmm. And we have to look at the scriptures as the same way. Any amount of time that you spend in the Word of God, even if it is one verse that you read and think about for 5 minutes, the effects of that, it will come back and it will sustain you in moments when you need it.
I also did some other research that I like to do when I'm doing Bible study. The first verse that I really came across that was really impactful for me was in Proverbs 18, and it's verse 14, and it says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear?" And that's the Amplified version, but he also quoted the Message version, and he said, "A healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when your spirit is crushed?" And so that was a devotion guide led by Brian Houston from Hillsong Church. And I like following a lot of his devotional plans, but that's from his Live, Love, Lead devotion plan. But it really stood out to me, like there's a difference between a strong spirit and a weak spirit. And so this week, if we're focusing on how we're being strong in spirit, Brian mentions, if you feed your spirit with fear, with doubt, with unbelief, when trouble or pain comes your way, then you're going to be overcome because that's what you're feeding yourself with. Mm-hmm. And your spirit is weak because that's what you're eating. The same way with your physical body. When you have a poor diet, your body is not able to sustain itself off that diet. So you're physically weaker. And so our spirits are the same, right? And yeah. He said, if you have a healthy spiritual life in God's word and in his house, meaning you're at church on a regular basis and you're in his presence regularly, then you're going to have faith and confidence in him despite your circumstances. So being strong in spirit comes from, because that's really the question I'm asking, how do I be strong in my spirit?
Yeah.
Comes from time with God, meaning his presence, and then feeding myself with his word and on his truths that he speaks over us. Like if I'm continue to be disciplined in feeding myself God's word spiritually, whether I can recall it right now in the car or not, it is in there. And scripture also tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring things to our remembrance. Mm-hmm. And so if we do our due diligence to be faithful and disciplined in the study of his word and in his presence and gathering together as a body, in living life in community, we are bound to be spiritually strong. So that's some of the biggest takeaways I had. And then for me, as we talk about surrender, because I know that was another big topic for us, surrender pushes me towards a goal to have an eternal mindset. And I think I remember mentioning this last week when we were talking. I want to have the mindset of eternity. And surrender makes me think about eternity. And that applies, let me help draw a line, because some of you are probably like, what is she talking about right now? But when I think about feeding myself and having a strong spirit, as I mentioned earlier, if all I'm doing is feeding myself with thoughts of fear or insecurity or doubt and unbelief, then I'm going to have a weak spirit. And if I have a weak spirit, I may choose to engage in temptations of sin. And so the weaker that I am spiritually, the more prone I am to sin.
Yeah.
The same way the weaker that I am in my discipline of feeding my body healthy, the more prone I am to give into instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I tie this back to what I feel like the Lord's been speaking to me about lately in my life, having a mindset on eternity instead of here on earth, the biggest thing that speaks to me is, for my spirit and for my flesh, don't think about right now what kind of instant gratification you're going to get from giving into that sin or that temptation,
mm-hmm.
but refrain and surrender that want or that desire. And so physically, that comes the same way for me for Whole30 in this season. Like, we're in like almost the end of week one, praise Jesus, but it's also like, when I want to give into a Coke, because I mean, that's probably my biggest weakness at this point, is like, I want a Coke every day, just one, but I want a Coke every day. And so when I give into that weakness, that is an immediate instant gratification, but I'm not thinking about the long-term effects that that one Coke has on my body.
Right.
And I know that there are a lot of YouTube videos that all of you people can look at that will show you the effects of just one Coke or one soda to your body and how much you need to physically work out just to get rid of the effects of that one soda.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a horrible track record of instant gratification in my life, spiritually and physically. And so this week, studying how I need to be strong in spirit, the Lord has brought back to me everything he's been talking to me about in my previous season. Don't think about right now, Misty. Think about eternity. And like, that's the same for my physical body. So not just spiritually, think about, you know, eternity. That comes out in like my mental and emotional state too. Refuse the instant gratification that comes from that behavior of getting mad and cussing someone out because they cut me off in traffic,
mm-hmm.
or not forgiving my brother or sister in Christ because it feels good to be mad at them and to hold on to that.
That goes right into our memory verse from this past week of Philippians 2:3 that says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourself. And he goes on to say, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, like the whole community, have the same attitude of giving up your rights for the other person, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Like, we have the capacity for this in Christ Jesus. I mean, when I think about being strong in spirit, for me, I would have to echo what Paul says when he makes the statement of, for me to live is Christ. That would have to be like the ultimate number one goal for me, is to let Christ live, for me to so abide in him that he lives and shines through me in everything. I love that we're going through Philippians and just looking, just the same way with you, like every day something has really jumped off. And I cannot tell you how many times I've read Philippians in my life, you know?
Me too, yeah.
It's a short book. It's easy. It's one that when you're younger, you're like, oh, I'll read a whole book of the Bible. Let me read Philippians. I don't know how many times I've read it, but it's new and fresh every time I do. And the thing that really, the verses that have really jumped out at me that kind of, as far as like building strength in my spirit, the verse, I think it's chapter 2, verse 14 through 16 says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. I think some verses say complaining or arguing. I mean, just that very simple task that in everything you do today, big or small, don't complain, don't argue, don't grumble about it, don't even try to question God about it.
Yeah.
Or we could turn it around and say, do everything with a joyful, grateful, cooperative attitude. I mean, that's driving on the streets of Dallas with people who are not afraid to cut you off. Drive right. with a joyful, grateful, cooperative attitude. Like, that's hard.
Yes.
Right?
Or, the same in Nashville.
But just having, you know, changing diapers with a joyful, grateful, cooperative attitude. Going yeah. to a meeting that is boring out of your mind with a grateful, yeah. joyful, cooperative attitude. Working with people that you don't want to work with, like going to the driver's license office or standing in line at the grocery store with those people that want to, you know, nickel and dime over every little bitty coupon. Cooperative attitude. Like, that's just huge. And it's for the building up of love. I mean, Paul talks about that's where it all comes back down to, is that going back to his greeting, his prayer was that their love would abound more and more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and scripture tells us that's how we're going to be known.
Absolutely.
That's what sets us apart, is that love. So it may sound silly to someone who's listening that's like, well, what does me being nice and cooperative to somebody in the grocery store have to do with anything? Because our actions and our attitudes as believers are representation of Christ himself. Mm-hmm. And so we have to think about beyond that moment.
Right.
Beyond us being frustrated and I got to get home and make dinner for the kids and then I got to do this. So it's beyond that instant gratification. So it does go beyond that and it does matter.
Yeah. I mean, even in that verse, he says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. I'm reading the ESV. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Yeah.
Like, and as I was reading that, I thought, you know what? In our generation, we talk so much about shining. We want to shine. And I know I struggle with that. I don't think I'm the only one. Like, Lord, am I showing you enough? Am I shining you enough? But that's not really the point. Like, that shining in the world is a byproduct. If you do the work of do in all things, not grumbling and questioning and showing love, then honey, you're going to shine. And we're not the only ones doing this. We're not the first ones to do this, to take this route. Jesus Christ is the first one who took this route. You know, he was God. He had everything, and yet he chose to come and live this life in a human form and to suffer the way that he did. And that's another part that really grabbed me was the reading from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he starts off saying, rejoice in the Lord. Put yeah. no confidence in the flesh. You know, and Paul even goes on and he talks about how he, if that's what we were going to do, he was acing the game. You know, like he was winning all the way. But he said, the real goal is to know Christ, like knowing him and not just believing in him, but knowing him. What I've understood the longer I live is that trouble's going to come to us in this world. You will have trouble. There's just no way around it. But what you do when that trouble comes, what I've discovered is that if you lean in and say, okay, this is not fair, this is not right, this should not be happening, that's blatant to everybody. But in this moment, I'm going to see it as a doorway to understand a little bit, like lean in to a little bit of what he experienced on earth. Man, there is just such a strength that comes that I feel like then we can experience the power of his resurrection.
Yeah. Like Jesus came. If there was anybody that should have been saying, look at me, I've got it all together, it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not give us the model of, let me show you how many laws I keep, all the rules that I don't break. So the model that he set for us was one of suffering and surrender.
Yeah. And it made me think about whenever, when he talks about that I may share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, I wrote out, like, what does that mean? What was Christ like in his death? What did he do? Well, three things come up to my mind. One, he was silent. Like, he entered that silently. When people were, they had false accusers in the crowd and, you know, he's standing before Caiaphas. and he goes before the governor, and they keep asking him, like, what do you have to say for yourself? And he just stands there quietly, which is a prophecy from Isaiah that said he was, you know, he was like a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And he took it. Like, he took that moment and didn't try to justify himself or try to get out of it, which, hello, if he's God, like, he could have gotten out of it. But he chose there to be quietly, which makes it, again, in my mind, what kind of suffering am I experiencing right now? What uncomfortable position am I in? Go through it, Jennifer, without complaining or without arguing. And I really feel my spirit just kind of shut up and just stand there and be strong. Be strong through the moment. And then number two, he had a willingness to go through it. I feel like he had some inkling of what was coming, even, you know, knowing that this was going to be very traumatic, very difficult. He still was willing to do it. And the whole time he was willing to do it because of what the exact same thing that Paul's trying to tell the church here is, he was doing it thinking of others. He was allowing this moment to come because of the benefit that it was going to be for other people. And I feel like sometimes when we go through a suffering situation, or we feel like our attitude is, God, why is this happening to me? You know, when it's just happening. Like, this is just the world that we live in. It's just natural. It's just a thing that happens, you know?
Yeah. Or it's not fair. I think that's the number one thing I always want to say. It's not fair, Lord. It's just not fair.
Yeah. But instead of having... Instead of having those attitudes, I think being strong in spirit would say, this is here. I'm acknowledging that this is difficult, and I'm going to choose to not complain about it. I'm going to choose not to grumble or have a bad attitude about it. Instead, I'm going to lean in and say, God, I trust you more than I am afraid of the situation. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to let this be a doorway to knowing you more. Because we so often want to celebrate Sunday, like the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. But we would never have experienced that Sunday if we had not walked through Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And there is something so powerful when we lean in to those experiences, whether we put ourselves there or whether they were just done to us, you know, undeserved. There's just such power that is there when we surrender to the process that our spirits are really made strong. And Paul even says in verse 15 of chapter 3, he said, let those of us who are mature think this way. The hope is it doesn't just stay with suffering. Like, Christ didn't just die, period, the end. We don't just suffer, period, the end. We lean into that suffering so that we can experience the power of the resurrection. That's how Paul experienced knowing Christ. And for me, that's what it means to be strong in spirit.
Right.
Any final thoughts?
I think if there's one thing that I would want to leave, and this is a challenge I have for myself, I think it's one that the Lord has been working with me actively on for a while. It's Galatians 5:16, and this is the Amplified version, but it says, but I say walk and live habitually.
Ooh.
And that's why I like the Amplified version, because it says habitually.
Yeah.
In the spirit, which means to be responsive and controlled and guided by the spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, which is our human nature without God.
Mm, that's so good.
So that's my challenge for me and for anyone else.
Okay, then let's pray. God, thank you for suffering for us. Thank you for making resurrection possible. God, I pray that you will help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to live habitually in your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. For all of the details, links, and downloadable plans for this series, please visit our website at lovehopeandstories.com and click the tab Be Strong September in the menu bar, or click today's title to view this episode's show notes. Subscribe to Love, Hope, and Stories anywhere you listen to podcasts, and join us on Facebook and Instagram to keep the discussion going. I hope you are feeling encouraged to be strong this September. Bye, friends.